Lord, we want to thank you because you are good. And your mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. The testimonies of the Lord are also sure. And Lord, we thank you because of all of the goodness that you have shown us. And help us to always remember the goodness of the Lord. Now, Lord, glorify yourself this morning in the message of the Lord. And let the people of God understand your word. Let that light shine in our hearts this morning to the glory of your name. In Jesus' mighty name. Now everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I want you to listen real good this morning. And I believe the Lord is going to bless your heart. So first of all, I want to say that there is an evil that I have seen. You know, one of the writers in the Bible, they call him the preacher. He said, I've seen an evil upon the earth. Well, I've seen an evil among the children of God sometimes. And it is called limiting God, is what I've seen. How people limit the Lord in spite of all of the wonderful things that they've seen God do from time to time. But then all of a sudden one thing happens and then they limit the Lord. And they're running helter-skelter. You know, and so forth like that, instead of looking to the rock of salvation. Praise the Lord. So I'll be talking this morning on exceeding abundantly and above. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I want you to turn to somebody and say exceeding.
Exceeding.
Say again, exceeding.
Exceeding.
Say abundantly.
Abundant.
And say above.
Above.
Hallelujah. But that's according to the power that dwells in you. It's not just anyhow, it's according. And I preached that message before. You can check it out on the website. According to the power that dwells in you. But this morning, exceeding abundantly and above. And I'm going to show, by the grace of God, the reason why people don't have that exceeding or the abundantly or the above in the blessings of the Lord. Why the blessings are limited? Because of limiting God. See, so I'm going to start here. In the book of Psalms, chapter 78, the long psalm, and I want to challenge everybody as a homework action item this week, read the entire Psalm 78. Because I don't have time to read it all this morning, so I'm just going to go through some of it and so forth like that. But this psalm encapsulates the story of how time after time, God did wonderful things for Israel. But yet, you know, after every little turn, their hearts would go away from God. And they would forget all of his great works that he has done. And they would limit God. And they would provoke God. And so this psalm talks about it and so forth like that. So I'll just pick out a few verses, you know, that, you know, in this psalm. I start from verse 1. Give ear this morning, O people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth this morning, he said, in a parable. I will utter dark things. And then he began to say, look, all the things we have known, which we have heard from our fathers, of all of the great things that the Lord has done and so forth. And he said, look, let's show them to even our own generation. And let's show them to our children. And let's show them to, you know, so that they may also show it to others and so forth. So that they may not forget all of the good things of the Lord. Now, verse 6. That the generation to come might know them, which is the works of God and the great things he has done. Even the children which should be born, you know, let's not hide the words of God. Let's not hide the testimonies of God. We should remember them in our hearts and we should tell it also to the people. And let everybody also remember to tell it to those that are coming even after them. That they might set their hope in God. And not forget the works of God. But to keep his commandments. Now, this is the evil. This is the problem that we see among the people of God. We see that people soon forget the works of God. People turn their hope away from God. People forget all of his testimonies sometimes of the great things that he has done. And, you know, so many times God had to remind the people of Israel. He would remind them of all the great things, all the signs he showed in the land of Egypt. Now, I tell you, there has never been any people like those people that saw tremendous things. They even saw the cloud. They saw the glory of God on Mount Sinai. They saw the Lord, you know, among the camp and so forth. God did great things. I mean, he sent signs in the land of Egypt. He sent all kinds of things, creative miracles, lice, flies, and, you know, frogs, and all of this in darkness, and smote their firstborn, and did all these things. And on top of that, if that was not enough, He parted the Red Sea and made them to go on dry land, which nobody has ever heard before that God would do any such thing. But he did it for them. You know, and every time that, you know, and when he did all those things, finally, he brought them through the wilderness and did all that. And then they came to one place, they couldn't find water, and they began to grumble against the Lord. You can read that in Exodus chapter 16. And they began to grumble. And sometime again, you know, they didn't have, you know, food. And then they began to grumble against the Lord. Until the Lord said, well, I'm going to rain manna down from heaven. And God, you know, I was reading that and I said, wow. God said, look, you're going to eat it until it comes out of your nose. You know. And then finally God, he smote the fattest of them because they wouldn't believe God. Now that's a sad situation to be in. So let's take down, that's a quick summary there. But let's take down some of these in verse 70, Psalm 78. All the things that God did here, he told them from verses 1 through about 16. He told them all the things that he did, you know, how he did great things for them and so forth. And verse 17. And yet they sinned more and more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. The way they provoked him the most, mostly, was to limit him. You know, because they didn't trust that he could do the things that they needed. They didn't trust that he could supply their needs. Yet they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? See, these are people that have seen signs like nobody else. Now, we need to bring this home to us today. Many of us that are sitting here today and some that may be listening to this, you know, God has done tremendous things in your lives over the years. But sometimes you face some challenge, some difficulty or some problem or whatever, and you soon forget, you know, the goodness and the greatness of the power of God. And you do not sanctify the Lord in your heart by exalting his power in your life. But you begin to run helter-skelter and begin to look to somebody else for help rather than looking to the Lord. God is not pleased, saith the Lord. And it's an evil upon the earth that I have seen, especially among the children of God. Now, why is the Lord not pleased? Let's read the next few verses. The Lord, he did great things like, you know, causing water to come for them out of the rock, making sure they have bread out of heaven and so forth. And, you know, when they began to grumble, you know, the Bible says in verse 21 here that the Lord heard this and he was angry. He was wrath. So a fire was kindled against Jacob and his anger came up against Israel because, you know, why? See, now, these are the chosen people of God. This is the people for which God stood up, you know, for which God flexed his arm and did mighty things in the land of Egypt to bring them out with a mighty hand. But these same people, because they would not believe God for the next miracle that, you know, of the challenge that they were facing, these same people, you know, began to provoke God. And listen to verse 22. It says, because they believed not in God and did not trust in his salvation. Now, that's something that we can bring home to us. Do you believe the Lord? Do you trust in his salvation? You know, and I, you know, this, you know, this began, I was thinking about this, but this, God began to bring this home to me, even more so in this, yesterday, you know, when I was on this trip, trying to come back from New York to Phoenix and so forth, and it took me close to 20 hours, all kinds of things going on, you know, every place, they said, you know, the weather and all of that, and the whole time, I had to trust the Lord, amen, praise the Lord. And I said, well, the angel, his angel is with me. Amen. And you got to recognize that, you know, and God is not pleased when you don't recognize that. God is not pleased when you don't, you know, when you don't recognize and look for his salvation in any situation that you are facing. You know, so this is the problem with the people. You know, they went through all of these things and so forth. You know, they limited God and, you know, how often they limited God in the Bible. And listen to verse 31. Because of all these things, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen of Israel. For all this, they sinned still and they did not believe for all his wonderful works. Therefore, you know, their days he did consume in vanity and their years in trouble. You know, sometimes people of God even run into trouble. It is possibly because you're not sanctifying the Lord of hosts in your heart and remembering his great works which he has done. And then, you know, all of these things. And God will allow these things so that they can, you know, you can come back to your senses. Listen to verse 34. When he slew them, then they sought him. See? And then they returned and inquired early after God. And then they remembered that God was their rock. Because he allowed even more troubles to come upon them, which they could have avoided in the first place by remembering his great works. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So, You know, they went on and on and on. And listen to verse 40. How often they did provoke him in the wilderness, and they gripped him in the desert. You know, and yet, you know, he said, the Bible said they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the hand of the enemy, and so forth. You know, this is the problem. You know, they are facing a new challenge today, but they forget all of the things that God has done before. You know, but there was a man in the Bible that did not forget. He always remembered. His name was David. Amen.
Amen.
And when he was faced with Goliath, when everybody else said, "We are finished, we are doomed this day," he said, "I remember when God delivered the lion. Hallelujah. Into my hand, and I slew him, and I got what he got from me. I got it back. I remember when the bear rose up against me, took one of the kids, and I went after him, got him by the beard, and I slew him also. The God that delivered the lion and the bear into my hand, today he will deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hand," because he remembered the works of the Lord. And he always and this was a man who used to know how to make God great. He would say, "The Lord is my fortress, and the Lord is my rock. The Lord is my hiding place, a very present help in trouble." Hallelujah. And the Bible says, you have to read it for yourself. The Bible says, when he began to speak those things, God rose up and thundered with a voice. God answered back from the secret place of thunder to David every time the Lord, you know, would hear David speak of his wonderful things. And I preached a message like that before, that, you know, power with God, I call it. Do you have that kind of power? Do you have that kind of, you know, clout, if you want to be with God? Can your prayer move God to do great things like that? Make God stand up and thunder from his voice, you know, with a voice from heaven. Can your prayer make God blast with his nostrils and so forth like that? Well, yeah, if you make him great. If you call the Lord how great he is, praise the Lord. God is as great as your praise. That's how he is. You know, the power of God is as great as how great you esteem God. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. And we're going to move into this message now. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now, some of the things that I read and I just said in the last few minutes were to show you the reasons why people do not experience constantly what we are about to speak on right now. What is the reason why when Jesus said in John 10:10, "I have come that you might have life, and that abundantly"? What is the reason why he spoke about our abundant life? And even the apostle here says here that God is able to do exceeding abundantly and above all that we ask or think. What is the reason why God has made these promises and yet we are not in abundance of his blessings? The reason is because we limit God. We limit God and we provoke the Lord. And even if it's not for the mercy of God, that he just allows even sometimes just some little blessings to, to trickle down to us, we might be in a really bad shape. Because God has shown us tremendous things. But yet, on a day-to-day basis, we limit God. Now, Jesus, he taught his disciples how to pray. They said unto him, "Teach us to pray." He said, "Well, you know, when it comes to asking for your needs, you got to go to God every single day. You got to say, 'Give us this day our daily bread.' Not give us 1 month's supply or 1 year's supply, or give me everything for the rest of my life so I don't have to trust the Lord again. God wants us to keep on trusting. And God wants us to remember what he has already done. And when you come for new blessings, you remember how great things he has already done. And when you tell him, when you tell him how great he is, when you tell him what he has already done, then he begins to flex his arm on your behalf, and he can rise up and do even greater things for you. Can you say praise the Lord? Now, unto him that is able, Ephesians 3 and 20, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, hallelujah, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
unto him that is able. Now remember, he's able, but it doesn't mean that you will receive it. You know, if you are not positioned in your life to exalt the praise of God for the things that he already did. You know, if you limit the power of God in the present situation, you may never see this exceeding, this abundantly, and this above kind of power in your life. Now, the things that God does, they're like running over. You can check out also on the website, the message called Running Over. God does things like that in portions that run over. The psalmist said, the Lord anointed my head with oil, and my cup runs over. The things that God doesn't want to just give us barely enough. See, but many of us are living on barely enough. You know, just, you know, barely enough. And sometimes people not even hardly, you know, where from hand to mouth or whatever it is and so forth. Whereas God wants us to have exceeding, abundantly, and above. Now, think of it this way. Because it says what we ask and what we think. And a few weeks back, we talked about ASK and asking. Asking, seeking, and knocking. And how we can receive things from God. We know that now. You know, but, you know, this scripture says that even for the things that you can ask. Well, that's one way. But beyond what you can ask, if you can even imagine it. Well, let me put it to you this way. There are some things that are out of our scope sometimes. Now, if you ask, you know, some of the young kids here, like the little ones, you know, to say the largest number that they know. You know, if you ask a really little kid, maybe he might say 20. Maybe that's the largest number they know. You know, you ask somebody else, maybe they'll say 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 or whatever. You know, and then, you know, if somebody really knows some numbers, maybe they'll talk of a million or a trillion or a quadrillion or whatever, you know. And you see that your scope, the scope of the knowledge of what you know, might make you to add a few more zeros to those numbers. Are you still with me? Now, it's the same thing when we are believing God. You can believe God that he can supply, you know, your $10 or $20 need, and then he'll do it. And then all of a sudden, you've been believing God in that range, but now all of a sudden you jump from $10 or $20. Suddenly you need $10,000. But your faith cannot reach out to that level because you don't have the power working in you like that to make God do exceeding and abundantly above. Why don't you have the power? Because your praise of God is limited. When our praise is limited, you know, he dwells in us according to the measure of our praise. You know, God is exalted. The power of God is exalted in our lives according to the measure of the praise of the glory of God in our lives. You know, so, you know, and then when we don't know how to praise the Lord for what he has already done, you know, then we find that in situations that we are facing, you know, when whatever the challenge is out of the scope of our thinking. But the Bible says, if you can even think it, now, just imagine, you know, the power of thought is a wonderful thing. You can use thought, you can think right now and imagine yourself to be someplace else. That's how powerful thought is. You know, you can think anything in your mind. I mean, and think, you know, but the Bible gives us a caution of what we should think. Amen? Amen? You'll find that in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. The Bible says, control your mind. Control your thoughts. If there be anything that is of praise, if there be anything that is of virtue, if anything is of good report, things that be of heaven, and so forth like that, things that glorify the Lord, think on these things. Those are the things that you should be thinking of. But if you can think, you can imagine anything. But the Bible says here, in Ephesians 3 and 20, that whatever you can think, God can do even more. Praise the name of the Lord. So you may sit here and say, well, you know, and you know, one time, you know, we as a church, we were thinking and believing God that, well, you know, we want to own our place and so forth like that. And the next thing we know, of course, it took several years while God was proving us. But the next thing we know, God will give us something that is exceeding, that is abundantly, and is even above what we thought and what we asked even in the beginning. How many of you can say amen? And if you haven't seen the building, you may not understand it. But for those of you who have seen it, you need to go through it again. And every time you go through it, you'll see even more expanse. You'll see even, you understand more things. You know, I mean, how the place is just so huge and all of these things. And God is great, what he's planning. Praise the Lord. But it comes by acknowledging what God has already done. You know, there is a song that says, you know, praise him for what he has already done. Enter this way into God's presence. The power to move any object is at the bidding of those who have learned the secret of praise. You know, if you can praise the Lord for what he has already done. See, that's how you enter into his presence. You know, rather than limiting God, rather than coming to God and say, Lord, you know, I don't know, you know, where my salvation comes from today. The Bible says, my help coming from the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth. That's where my help comes from. You know, don't take any negative suggestion from the people and so forth like that. You know, you need to have always an answer for the hope that is inside of you. You need to have a rebuttal. You know, when something negative, you know, you need to remember, you know, the goodness of God. You need to remember how I've seen him in the morning, the psalmist said. I've seen him in the power when he was in the sanctuary. When I was in the sanctuary, I've seen the glory of God. You need to remember, you know, when you are in the valley, remember, you know, your days when you are on top of the mountain. Hallelujah. When you are in the dark, remember what God spoke to you in the light. You know, because, you know, you have to remember those things that where God, when God visited you, you got to remember. When God did those great things for you, you got to remember. But sometimes people limit God. And when they limit God, they don't have the exceeding, the abundantly and above. In the book of Luke chapter 6 and 38, I'm not talking about giving an offering this morning, but it talks about, you know, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. See, this is how God does his things. You know that, I'm going to give you a couple of quick scriptures. Psalm 23 verse 5. It talks about my cup runneth over. Luke chapter 6, 38. Talks about things running over, you know, that God will, you know, do for us and so forth. And everything that God does like that is kind of like the abundance. The abundance. And even the Bible says that concerning the Lord himself, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 7, he said, of the increase and of the expanse of his government, there shall be no end. Hallelujah. You can go out and look at the, you know, go out to the ocean and so forth, stand on the beach and just look at the expanse of the ocean. You know that, I mean, you can't even see the end of it. You can see the horizon. You can see the place where it looks like the sky meets the ocean. But you can't really see the end of it. It just seems to go on and on. And you can take a bucket to the ocean. You can take as much water as you want. You can keep going to that ocean as many times as you want. And you won't even leave a dent in it. How many of you can say praise the Lord? That's right. That's how great the things that God can do for you. And many times all we take to God is a bucket to the ocean. But, you know, but we forget that God is so great and God is so beyond anything that we can ask or think. You know, I want you to change your thinking this morning. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody, say praise the Lord. If you're thinking that the Lord can do this, then remember in your mind that he can do more than that. Praise the Lord. I mean, the Bible already says it and it's in the Word of God. And you got to know that God is able. See, this is the thing that set Abraham apart. This is what God, why God made it righteousness for him. Because he knew that God was able to do what he promised. Do you know that God is able to do exceeding? You know, that's what Paul said to him that is able to do. Now, so that's the way God puts it. God tells you what he's able to do. God doesn't tell you that I'm going to do it. You know, what you are going to draw it out of God. Hallelujah. With joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. You are going to draw it out of God. God's already capable of doing it. The ability to provide exceeding and abundantly and above is inside of God. But your faith and your praise and your exaltation of the Lord is going to draw it out of God. How many of you can say praise the Lord? You know, that's why you find that, you know, some people will get more from the Lord because they praise the Lord more. See? And others will get, you know, maybe get by with a little and so forth because they don't praise the Lord as much for what he already has done. You know, but you can draw it out of God by the power of your faith and the power of your praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Even concerning the things of the Spirit. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, it says, you know, the Holy Ghost is given in abundance. You see, out of the belly of him that believes in me, shall the rivers of water flow. See, God doesn't want us to have the Holy Ghost to be contained in us. He wants it to be running over, flowing to people around you, impacting lives. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what he does. And that's how God wants our life to be. In fact, do you know that the heavens of heavens cannot contain the Lord? Do you know that? There is a scripture for that. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27. Well, I'm moving along real quick with this message and so forth. That's why I'm just running along. You know, in the book of 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27. Solomon, when he was blessing the Lord and so forth concerning the great temple and so forth, he said, look, the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. Hallelujah. You need to begin to see and expand the, you know, the faith of your, you know, your horizon, faith horizons. There's another message called that on the website, faith horizon. You need to be able to expand, you know, how you see God. If you only see God that is able to only do so much, that's limiting God. No matter what you are believing God for, first, you must know that God is able. Not only to do what you are believing God for, but to exceed what you are believing God for. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And you must know that he's only not only able to exceed it, but he can do it abundantly, beyond and running over even your expectation and your thinking. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But the reason people don't experience such kind of blessing is because their blessings are limited through limiting of God in their lives. If you don't remember all great things God has done, like the children of Israel, the story we read in Psalm 78. And remember, read the whole chapter of Psalm 78. You see all the great things and how God lamented. And how God, you know, over all of their problems because they wouldn't believe God. And sometimes God would turn his back because they didn't believe him. And they did not look to him for his salvation in any situation that you are in. Now, the Bible says God always causes us to triumph. Not sometimes, but always. That means in every situation that you are in, you can have the victory. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And not only can you have the victory, you can have an abundant entrance into the presence of the Lord to give glory to God at the end of the day, no matter what you are facing. God has made provision. Hallelujah. Jesus said, it is finished. Hallelujah. He hung upon that cross and he said, it is finished. And again, the Bible says, I am Alpha and Omega. Hallelujah. I've made all things new. You know, God, you know, he can do anything. Throughout all generations, we have seen how great God has been. You know, but we want to bring it down to our own lives. In our lives, how do we see God? Is God able to meet your daily needs? Or, you know, let's say the barrel of meal was running low and the cruse of oil was failing. Let's say the stream was failing and so forth. Where would you look to? What would be your first reaction when you have a situation? What would be your first reaction? Is it going to be one of despair or despondency or unbelief or distrust or whatever, or complaining or whatever, instead of magnifying the Lord? And remembering and recalling to mind all the great things that he has already done. How many of you can say praise the Lord? I remember I was facing a situation this last weekend on travel and so forth. And, you know, and I said, you know, they said, well, you know, I was in LaGuardia to fly to Chicago and then to fly to Phoenix. There was no problem with LaGuardia itself, but they said Chicago, no flights are coming in. Everything's grounded and so on and so forth. You know, and I, you know, and it looked like, you know, the connection flight, you know, I'll be too late for that. And then the one after that, I'll be too late for that. And then the one after that, I'll be too late for that. And I remember one time I traveled with a brother to the Philippines when we went there for the crusade in 2008. You may have heard that story. And we were coming back and I looked at one flight that we wanted to get on because I didn't want to wait for 8 hours to get on the flight we were scheduled on. And I said, well, we were in Manila, and I looked at And I said, well, when we get to California, it looks like we're going to have an 8-hour wait. And I didn't realize that when we booked the flight. And I said, well, you know, the Bible says, I said to the brother, I said, look, the Bible says, you know, if two of you shall agree as touching anything. And sometimes I just take the word of God literally. So I pulled up the thing on the internet, on the computer. I said, touch this, brother. I said, that flight that is there, we're going to get on it. Praise the Lord. So, you know, we got to California and, you know, the devil tried everything. Bible said the word of the Lord is tried. The moment you are believing God, all hell is going to break loose. Amen. That's right. It's like Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And as soon as he said that, all hell broke loose. The storm and everything and so forth like that, as if they were going to drown. But let's go to the other side is what he said. Amen. You need to latch on to that word. You are going to the other side. Doesn't matter how many storms are coming. God said we are going to the other side. Praise the Lord. So they tried everything. They delayed us. They did searching and so forth. And we were running late because we were not even on standby. I mean, you have to even be on standby to even get on the flight to be on standby. You know, we're just going to try. You know, and I said to the brother, I said, look, there will be two seats left. Praise the Lord. So we did everything. They tried to delay us. Finally, they turned us loose and we started running. And I was hearing the announcement. They were clawing. They were calling for two people. They started announcing their name. We got to the gate and they kept announcing their name because there were two people that didn't show up for that flight. Praise the Lord. And I walked up to the agent and I said, they're not going to show. Praise the Lord. And they wouldn't let us on. They kept calling. They said, this is your final announcement. Mr. Such and Such and Such person. Your flight is now, the gate is now closing. And I said, they're not going to show. Those two seats are for us. Praise ye the name of the Lord. So we got on the seat, you know, blessed be the name of the Lord. So I remember that this just yesterday. And I said, Lord, I remember one time you did that, you know. And I said, and I know that the angel of the Lord is with me. I said, so whatever it takes, there is a flight that, because they told me, well, you know, and there's this big confusion. US Airways, American Airlines, you know, combined and all of these things and so forth. And it's a big mess. Because you get on one flight, they say it's US Airways operated by American Airlines. You get on another one, they say it's American Airlines operated by US Airways. And, you know, so you go to the wrong gate, you know, and then they said, well, no, you got to go to America. And say, are you kidding me? I think you're all the same. Say, oh, no, you know, and all that. So it's all confused. So I said, well, and they said, there's no more flight. I said, well, there will be one flight. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, so I said, well, there's one flight that will be delayed. Just like mine's delayed, there's one other flight that's going to Phoenix, be the last one, I don't care, but be delayed so I can get on it. And my flight, once you miss your flight, your checked-in bag is all over the place. You never know where this thing's coming from. So I said, well, it'll be there when I get to Phoenix. Amen. So I get there and so forth. So somebody did sent me all over the airport. You know, and then finally one person said, oh yeah, go down to H-17 there. There's a flight going to Phoenix. I said, that's right. Praise the Lord. So I'm going down to that place and so forth like that. I get down to that place. I see everybody standing around. So I walk on one person. I said, what's going on? Your flight's been delayed. He said, yeah. I said, that's right. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, he didn't know why I said, that's right. I said, well, yeah, that's right. You know, because, you know, I needed to get to Phoenix. And they had already booked me on the next day's flight, which would be this morning's flight. And I said, no way. You know, I'm going to Phoenix tonight. Praise the Lord. But in all that, God began to show me that, look, you got to remember the great things that God has done before. Hallelujah. And when you call to remembrance what God has already done in the present conflict, you remember how great God has already done in past conflicts, then God will rise on your behalf. Praise the Lord. We must never limit God. You know, and so forth. And I remember different things, you know, in the past that have happened with my luggage and all that. So I get to Phoenix. I'm just mixing in testimony with this, you know, humanize the message a little bit. You know, so I get into Phoenix. I'm looking for my luggage. You know, I go up to this lady. She's gathering all the luggages and so forth, you know, and I don't know which flight my luggage came with and all that. So, and I go to her and say, oh, yeah, you know, you got to go to that office there. And I see this long line. I say, I'm not going to that long line. It's already like 1 o'clock in the night, 1 a.m. I said, I'm going to find my luggage. So I'm walking around and so forth. You know, so I see the lady again. She said, well, you got to go over to that. I said, well, don't worry about it. You know, so I go over and so forth. And I go, you know, and I'm looking. I'm saying, Lord, I know This, but I don't know which flight this thing came on, because you know, there was 3, 4, 5 flights in between. I said, but that luggage is there, and I'm going to find it. So and I'm going, and I see the luggage is right there, you know, spinning around on those conveyor belts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may not know how great that is, but, you know, because I said, look, I don't want to come back to this airport and have to deal with that. I'm taking this back home. Because I prayed, I said, Lord, I don't want that to be separated from me. And I want that to be separated from that, so you make a way and I'll find it. And I knew the whole time that God was going to do it. Why? Because he's done even great. I don't have time to talk about all the great things that God has done in little things. I'm not even talking about big things now. You know, I'm not talking about tremendous miracles now. You know, healing and, you know, do all kinds of things. But I'm talking about everyday life. Things in your life, things that you are facing and so forth. And then you must remember what God has already done in the past. And God will make a way for the present situation. But if you limit the Lord, like the children of Israel did time after time and time after time, you know, they'll never, you know, they'll never be able to see the real abundant blessings of God. And here's another testimony for you. You know, and I was, the GPS and so forth, you know, got there the first time and trying to use my GPS to find the place in the middle of the night. You're talking about very late at night when I went out, you know, on the outbound trip. And in the middle of the bush somewhere, phone wanted to give out. You know, I mean the power to the phone was going out. And he said, well, connect your charger, your battery is going to die. And I'm like, in the middle of the bush, I don't know anywhere. Battery, you better have some juice. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the Lord showed me how great that miracle was, because the Lord kept that battery alive. And I'll tell you why. Because God, and I plugged in the charger, but it wasn't charging. And I thought my phone charging port was bad. You know, but God showed me a great miracle in that, because every step of the way I had to believe God. There was so many things. I don't have time to tell you all of it. But, you know, the next day, the phone finally gave out altogether. And God reminded me that it was the Lord that kept that phone going in the middle of the bush, where I was somewhere. And this place is, I mean, I don't know, I love it here in Arizona. Praise the Lord. You drive around in some of these places, you're like, you're driving in the forest. I mean, there's trees everywhere. These are roads. I mean, I'm like, you don't know what's going to jump out of those bushes to you at any time. I mean, it's incredible. I don't know how they live in those kind of places. You know, do you? I love it here in the Sunshine State. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God for Phoenix, Arizona. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But, you know, those New York places and those kind of other places, where God bless their hearts, but I don't know what they're doing there with all those forests and so on. So I got out of there, and the Lord, every time, just like that, you know, God, you know, always, and, you know, the whole time, I would just be smiling. I say, Lord, you know, I know that His angel is with me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I texted my wife. I said, I know His angel is with me. How do I know that? Because I know His angel is with me. Praise the Lord. And when the angel of the Lord is with you, the Bible says He shall give His angel charge over you. Amen. Amen. And they'll keep you in your ways. And they'll guide you and so forth like that. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 29. Turn with me if you will. He said, I am not alone. My Father who sent me is with me. I know He's always with me, and I know I'm not alone, and so forth. He said, because, you know, I do all those things which are pleasing in His sight. Amen. Amen, folks. Amen. So, you know, rather than praying that God should be with us, we should be praying that He should lead us to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Because if you do the things that are pleasing in His sight, He will automatically be with you. I will come to Him and I will make my abode with Him. That's what He said. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, if you want your life to experience exceeding, abundantly, and above, you cannot afford to limit the Lord. Let me give you a couple more scriptures as we wind down here. Even the things that God does for us, even in joy of the Lord, you know, it's abundant if you can bless the Lord for what He's already done before. The Bible speaks of joy unspeakable. That's even in 1 Peter chapter 1 You know, and verse 8 talks about joy unspeakable. In the book of Psalm 16 and verse 11, talks about in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasures evermore. You know, so fullness, abundance, and all of these things, this is what God talks about. God never talks about just barely enough. And you know, sometimes when people are believing God, they cannot go and believe God all the way. They just believe God a little bit. You know, it's like one time, Elisha, the prophet, he was a dying, and the king of Israel came and so forth. And he said, well, you know, shoot your arrows and so forth. And the guy would only, you know, picked up, you know, and he would only shoot three times. And he said, what you shot three times for? Why do you stop? He said, well, you know, maybe that's all the guy could believe for. You know, and he said, well, you could have shot five or six or seven or so more times, and then the Lord would have utterly wiped out your enemies. But because you only shot the arrow three times, well, that's all you're going to get. You know, so when you are on a roll with God, you've heard me say this before, you know, go all the way. Praise the Lord. Don't stop believing God. You know, don't stop at anything. Believe God all the way, because he's able to do exceeding abundantly and above. But you must not limit God. Now, once again, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say exceeding. Turn to your neighbor, say exceeding. Abundantly. And above. Hallelujah. Challenge somebody next to you and say, have you received or are you receiving the exceeding? The abundantly and the above blessings of God. That's right. Which are beyond what you ask or think. That's right. Beyond what you ask or think. So ask for anything. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. So, I mean, that if you receive what you ask, that's even great. But that's not all. He can even do more than that. But if you don't receive what you ask, you are not even started yet. First of all, you must receive what you ask. And then on top of that, God is able to do even more than you ask. And even more than you think. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, this message may be simplistic, but you'll be surprised. So how many people are limiting God in their lives on a daily basis? You know, God has healed you from tremendous things in the past. All kinds of things. Even life-challenging situations. And then all of a sudden now you have one thing or the other and so forth like that. You know, a little cough, a little cold, a little headache, a little this, a little stomach problem, a little that. You know, and then you can't believe God. You know, and you don't sanctify the Lord. You know, and then God is not pleased. Amen, folks? Amen, folks? Amen. We have to always remember how great God has done things for us in the past. And use that to also recognize, you know, that even in the present conflict, he can do even great things for us. In the book of Romans chapter 8, from like verses 31 through the end, Paul talks about great things. But he talks about, look, being more than a conqueror in verse 37. Excuse me. He said, I am more than a conqueror. Well, first of all, you need to be a conqueror than to be even more than a conqueror. If you are not even more, you know, I mean, if you are not even a conqueror, how can you be more than a conqueror? See, but more than a conqueror is talking about the same exceeding and abundantly and above status. You're not just a conqueror. He said, in all these things, you see, I am persuaded, he said, that neither life nor death, nor things present, nor even things to come, neither angels nor principalities, nor this or that, whether I'm up or down, none of these things can move me. Hallelujah, somebody. I am persuaded that God is able to do even more for me in the present situation. He said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through us. I mean, through God that loved us and so forth like that. So are you more than a conqueror? Do you know that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above? He says, you know, praise the Lord for what he has already done. You know, and the song says, praise him for what he has already done. Enter this way into God's presence. The power to move any object is at the bidding of those who have learned the secret of praise. Praise him for what he has already done. Enter this way into God's presence. The power to move any object is at the bidding of those who have learned the secret of praise. Let's stand to our feet here this morning and give the Lord a hand clap if you understand the message. Praise the Lord. I want you to enter into his presence with thanksgiving and begin to acknowledge what God has already done. Call to remembrance things of old. You know, sometimes God says, remember not the former things. But again, the NAG say, remember the former things. You know, the reason why he puts it both ways is because of this message right here. You know, sometimes he'll say, well, don't worry about the old things because I'm going to do new things. You cannot change yesterday, so don't worry about that. But I'm going to do something new for you. Well, yeah. But sometimes you have to remember yesterday because of what he did. Hallelujah. You have to remember what he already done yesterday. And then use that to gather strength for the current situation. Now, you may be facing a job situation or whatever it is, you know. But you know that God has already done and pulled you out of many jams before. Now is the time for you to believe the Lord. Now, I want you to raise your hands where you are and praise the name of the Lord. Give the Lord the praise in your own words and tell him how great things he has done. I want the praise team to come on up, if you would, please. And while you are there, I want you to remember the goodness of the Lord, what he has done in the past for you, and begin to use that to encourage yourself for the present. Whatever you are facing now, whatever it is you are believing God for, you may even be having a good time now, but God is able to do even better. Amen. You may say, well, I don't have any problems now. Well, you know, whatever you got right now is a bucket compared to the ocean. And God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you already got. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to pray a quick prayer. Then I'm going to ask the praise team to sing. And while they are singing, we're going to give praise to the Lord for what he has already done. We're going to say how great God is. Hallelujah. And when you begin to praise the beauty of holiness, when you begin to give the glory to God for what he has already done, then he's going to move and do even greater things for you now. How many of you can say amen to that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now lift up your hands and I'm going to pray. Now, Lord Jesus, with every hand, I want every hand all over this auditorium lifted up. Hallelujah. With all our hands lifted up. Oh, Lord, we thank you for what you have already done. We give you praise and we give you glory. Oh, let our praise be a sweet, sweet offering before you, Lord, this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Bible says, give thanks to God. Praise him for what he has already done. Lord, we give you thanks this morning. Stabola, I want you to sing, give thanks with a grateful heart.
With a grateful heart, give thanks to the Holy.
Come on, everybody, all over this place, give thanks.
Give thanks because he is given.
Oh. Jesus is given. Jesus Christ. Going to ask the Lord to give you an experience of exceeding abundantly and above even this week in Jesus' name. But it's going to be according to the power of the praise that is working in you. But I have the privilege by the grace of God as a minister of the gospel to stand and proclaim the word of God and to give this benediction to some. So if that's you here this morning and you want the Lord to release exceeding abundantly and above into your life this week, I want you to take one quick minute and stand before me right now, and I will release a prayer of faith that you will experience. But you must praise the Lord. But you will experience an exceeding, and I want you to come back next week and give a testimony. You will experience a release of an exceeding and abundantly and above of the blessings of God even this week in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now if you're ready to believe God, I want you to lift up your hands and say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
And I want you to praise the Lord. I say, Lord, I praise you for what you've already done. I thank you for all of your great goodness and all of your great mercies that you've already shown to me. And I'm going to pray for you now. Now, Lord, that word which you have spoken, wherein you said God is able to do exceeding abundantly and above in our lives, let your word be verified.
Amen.
In the lives of your people.
Amen.
Even this week in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, the heavens of heavens cannot contain you.
Oh, yes.
Therefore, Lord, release the blessings.
Amen.
Abundant blessings.
Amen.
Even from heaven.
Amen.
Into the lives of your people this week.
Amen.
And whatever it is you are believing God for, this is the week.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This week, God will do exceeding.
Amen.
God will exceed your expectations.
Amen.
God will do abundantly above.
Amen.
But you must not limit God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the grace of God that is upon your people at this hour, and the anointing of grace that is upon your people to believe you for even greater things in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we release the blessings.
Amen.
Into your people's life this week.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
And somebody say amen.
Amen.
And let the loudest amen be the one that will receive that blessing this week.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now you may go back to your seats and prepare to give your offering. And let me say this to those of you that came forward. Listen to this. This is your final instruction. If you promise to come and give the Lord the praise as soon as He does it, and we will make room for you to share your testimony, then you will experience that exceeding, that abundantly, and that above kind of release even this week in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord.